Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. It's good to be with you today. Booba, you're supposed to be sitting closer to the Darth Vader. Or move that camera.
What do you mean? I didn't want people to see me.
That's outrageous.
Hiding in the shadows.
Hey, man, I'm not hiding in the shadows. I don't seem like I need to be the guy that needs to be looked at.
Hey, man, here's the deal. No one's coming for your beauty.
That's just what I mean.
It's just to know that there's a man there.
Hey, man, you can hear me.
All right. Here's what we got going on the show tonight. I'm not sure.
That's fair.
Let's talk about these Christmas lights. They're pretty cool.
So I could only buy one strand.
What?
Here's the deal. Christmas lights always seem like they're going to go farther than what I imagine.
Yeah.
I thought whatever the feet it was. I thought, oh, surely. Yeah, surely that feet will extend beyond what
they
I
know
need.
What they're doing with those.
Has that happened consistently throughout your life?
Yeah.
Three.
Hey, man, maybe you should start buying more Christmas lights.
I don't like to learn my lesson about just one thing a year.
Yeah. Do you know what I do every year? I tell the girls, we're gonna decorate. We're gonna do lights outside. It'll be great. And I'll go out and buy new lights, and they never match. I'll buy like one short, so I have to go back, and then they're like different lights now or something. Yeah. Or there's the warm white and the
cool white,
and I buy both. And it just looks ridiculous. So I didn't even try this year. I said, whatever.
Every year I tell myself, hey, this is another great year because you're not planning on participating in any decoration of any kind. And it's going to be awesome because you don't need to worry about that cool, warm, blue light, whatever.
Yeah, I'm an epic fail when it comes to lights.
I ran into that with a Christmas tree. And it happens every year. Like I always like the big payoff at the end. So you have two options when you're putting lights on the tree. You either plug them in now and then watch yourself wrap them around, or you just do it without plugging it in and then just give yourself the big huzzah at the end.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? I'm a huzzah man. I like your finished product, you know? Only to find out I did a terrible job. Like, I looked at this thing after it was done. I'm like, this is awful.
I should have done this in the process.
Holy cow, I should have plugged it in. But the girls were watching me do it, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't want to give away all the thunder, you know? Dad's going to show up with some whiz bang, you know? Dad's a mistake. It was terrible. I mean, it just really looked awful. So I don't think I'll do that again. I think I'll plug them in next year and kind of watch myself put them up.
So this is my first year living on my own, and I'm thinking about getting something, but I'm thinking about being the obnoxious guy that gets the really, really small, like, just plug-it-in tree that's, like, two and a half inches tall, and that's it. And then that's all the festivity that's
happening
in the apartment.
Here's the problem you're going to run into because you're a single bachelor-type man, is you won't have any good place to store it. So what you'll do is unplug it at Christmas time, and then you'll, like, put it in the dining room or something.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's totally... I don't even have a dining room, man.
Yeah, you're screwed. I mean, you can't. It's better to go no decorations until you get yourself a legit closet or something.
I have been told that I have a linen closet, and I said I don't really know what that's for. I have one towel, but maybe it'll go in there.
Yeah, you say, why? Is Lynn in there?
Who's Lynn?
It's going to be a tough show, Ben.
Lynn in closet.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if this is your first time listening to the program, it's time to bail. Yeah. It's time to get out now. Next week is surely better.
Here's the deal.
Last week was all right.
I'll hit you with the truth here. The Live from Path is a little down in the mouth today. We just had some stuff going on, and our usual brand of comedy is just, it's missing its edge. So Ben's being right. Like, if you're not a huge fan of the show or it's your first time, it might be time to bail. We're probably going to tell some terrible jokes and some not funny stories.
Yeah. Pete, you can hang on.
Yeah. Pete, you can stay.
Pete, hang out.
Hey, we had an awesome conversation with Pete on the Twitter today. I was listening to my company that I work for celebrated its 100th year anniversary. And the boss's son came down to, like, do a little speech or whatever. And he kept using, like, Jesus phrases. You know what I'm saying? And then he's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's not us, my family that's done this. We're just trying to be good stewards. And I'm like, what? Good stewards.
Hey. Ding, ding, ding.
Good stewards of what?
Hey, now.
I know that language.
Yeah. And he kind of kept talking.
I know that word.
He kept throwing, like, whatever the Jesus words in
We're
there
really
once in a while. And I thought, this fella's a Jesus man. I'm sure of it. And so on the way out of the meeting or whatever, I looked him right in the eye and I shook his hand and I say, I appreciate your priorities. And he goes, yeah. I thought, I don't know what happened. I think I'm certain he's a Jesus man, but, like, I can't prove it. I'm pretty sure he is, though. I've never heard anyone in other than church culture say I'm a good steward of something.
Yeah, that's Yeah, so we got in a conversation of like, what are other key phrases that you would hear? You're like, hey, that guy knows Jesus. What are your thoughts, fellas?
Phrases that guy knows Jesus.
Yeah. Blessed is big one.
Yep.
But it's just real blessed. I
accountability.
Sanctified.
I feel like the Christians have taken over accountability.
Okay, well, sanctified's like, I don't know, that's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah, sanctified's a total giveaway. That's why
hey,
I said it.
Hey, do you want some yogurt? Is it sanctified?
Hey, man, is that yogurt dairy or sanctified?
That guy said communion three times. I feel like he knows.
Exactly.
So like,
hey, man, he said God.
Referring to things as seasons, that's a pretty Christian thing to do. Be like, this is a season of life. I'm going through seasons.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus people say that stuff.
Maybe I'm not hanging around the right Jesus people. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because here's the deal. It's like, especially when things aren't going right, they don't like to say I'm down and out. Because like, they feel like people might assume that you don't love God or you're saying that God isn't sovereign, right?
So you have no faith.
You say seasons. I'm
going through a season.
Yeah.
I'm going through a season. It'll pass.
I think if I hear I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I normally just go, oh no.
But you're the worst example of this game. This is phrases that people use that secretly you might say, hey, they might love Jesus.
That's why
hey, I quote Bible verses and say sanctified.
That's why if you would have listened to what I was saying that's one of those things that I go, not necessarily.
I don't think Bubba understands the game.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm playing my own rules, man.
Here's the deal. Like we're talking about the Black Ops SEAL team, and Bubba is talking about the gay rights parade. Like we're talking about stuff that could pass. It's kind of stealthy the way Bubba's like. So a guy walks in and he's like, commune with your community, small group, accountability groups. It is a season.
Peace be with the Lord. Hey, man.
Go ahead.
You have to have both aspects of this, man. I'm bringing in that part. Leave me alone.
It was a one-aspect conversation.
Nope. I'm bringing
you brought
in both sides.
One that had nothing to do with it.
You're welcome for diversification.
I think even within the church, we'll use words that sometimes, in the context of the church, I think, do people know what this means? Like when people say, we're gathered around the table today, and I'm like, there's no table.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have a fork or a knife. I mean, I get it, because I've been in this for a long time, but you know, even a it's little things, I think. Just kind of watch your words.
You know, it's actually I was thinking about that because I was praying on the way in, and I started to use this language at the Lord. You know, I'm like, Lord, I want you to guard my actions. And I'm like, guard my actions? What does that even mean? And then I had to apologize again. I'm like, Lord, I didn't mean that. I don't even know what that says. Let's start over. Dear Lord. I don't know why I'm so stupid.
I'm a jerk.
Sanctified.
Help me.
I was going to meet somebody this morning for breakfast, and I was praying on the way there, and I had a similar experience. I don't know what I was saying. But like I got midway through it, I'm like, Lord, that don't make any sense. I'm driving. I'm not really paying attention to what I'm saying to you. I'm sorry about that. Let me give that another go.
Don't you hate that when you got to backtrack a prayer? Yeah, you're just like, okay, I was mailing it in.
I'm saying words that people use.
I feel holy, though.
Here's the problem is I notice my kids are doing that. Like I usually end with the same thing. And like I completely mean it. But I notice that I say it every time,
yeah.
And then my kids are spitting it out. I'm like, oh, man, because they don't really mean it, right? They're just saying it because I said it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some of that you got to – I mean, you're teaching by example.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want them to do, go off on their own and just make up whatever they want?
Well, so what I've done with both kids is, like, we started out, and then they'll listen to me pray, and, you know, probably until they're, what, you know, four, and then I teach them the Lord's Prayer because it's something they can remember and then say on their own, and then I can explain, like I have a basis, a foundation to explain at some point. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty proud of themselves because they can pray and they can do this, and we can say it together. And then we transition, and then I have them start kind of saying prayers on their own, and they start out, and they're like, they're about things that they care about, which is cool with me, because why would I want you to talk about God about anything else except for what you care about? Like, their world is different than mine. So, like, they pray for stupid things. And I think that's cool, because that's them talking to God about things that matter to them.
Yeah.
And then it just grows from there. So,
hey, man, my dad called me out all the time whenever I'd pray for food. But I mean, like, I'd say the whole, dear Lord, thank you for this meal. Make the food healthy. I really hope that...
Because I didn't.
Lord, bless this ring ding. I feel like it's going to do damage on the way in.
Lord, you and I have had many conversations about the McDoubles, and I would really like for this one to be good for me.
Are you God or are you not God?
Yeah, come on. McChicken. No calorie McChicken. Let's do this. No, my dad would call me out, and he would say, why are you praying for the food to be healthy? Why don't you just either eat healthy food or just stop praying about it? That seems ridiculous. Like, God made the food. It's going to be healthy or not.
You know, I my grandpa always used to say, for the nourishment and strength of our bodies, and I kind of picked that up a little bit. And then it occurred to me, I mean, he created the food. It's going to do what it's going to do.
That's kind of what it does.
It is hard to
Dear Lord,
imagine.
Let this have iron.
I think my calcium's low. Can you put calcium in there?
Dear Lord, B12.
It's almost comical to think like the level of frustration. Because, I mean, there is, I'd say there's some biblical context to the Lord getting frustrated with his people or people in general.
Yeah.
You know, especially throughout the Old Testament, right? But, like, I can just see, like, in some of the prayers I put up, he steps away from the heaven microphone and he's like, why, you know, I told you that's not a deal. Stop bringing it up. You know, like, can you make this chicken healthy? He's like, it's not healthy.
It's not. Stop it.
I made fruit.
You've got broccoli.
You're a dummy. You always were a dummy. I created you a dummy.
I've got grace for that.
Hey, man, I had the worst Brussels sprout today. It was, terrible. It looked so, I was at this cafeteria. And they had some, you know, it's not fried Brussels sprouts, but like it looks like it's been gone over, and it had some spices and stuff on it. It looked pretty good, and I ate it.
That's one heck of a sign. I'll take two lumps of gone over. Anyway,
hey man, can you overcook this?
It tastes like eating a G.I. Joe.
Oh.
Like it wasn't good.
Jungle, gross.
That's all I got.
I love Brussels sprouts too.
Hey, they're growing on me.
Yeah,
they're growing. Like I used to like them when I was little, and then I kind of bailed on them a little bit. Now I'm back on board.
Yeah, I like them.
Fresh Brussels are good.
A little butter, a little pepper.
I used to be that way with onions. I remember I found out, like, bringing it back to McDonald's here, I found out the McDonald's cheeseburgers had onions on them, and I told my dad that I felt I was betrayed. I was like a child, and I was telling my dad that he had betrayed me, not that McDonald's had betrayed me, that he'd let me eat onions all these years. Because I told him one day, we were in the car eating, and I told him, I don't like onions. He goes, yes, you do. I said, no, I hate onions. I won't eat them ever. He goes, Troy, open up your bun. I said, what? He goes, open up the bun. I opened up the bun. There was onions on it. I didn't talk to my dad the rest of the car ride. I thought he had lied to me for years.
It was an epic story.
Hey, man. It's better than Brussels sprout guy over here.
Yeah, it's got told you.
Hey, man. Overcooked Brussels sprouts are gross. Thanks.
It's going to be tough times at the
Great
show,
job,
man.
Ben.
Sorry.
Do you want to just start out with a dear life from the past?
No, okay, here's a question that may or may not have legs. So, so what does it mean to, like, I don't know why this is in my head. Well, I mean, I kind of know. So somebody had posted an article about 21 lost gentleman traditions.
Oh, I read that.
Okay, and so then I thought to myself, like, I didn't read it. I thought I should read that. And then I didn't read it.
Let's talk about it.
But I thought, if you had to make some steps and say, define for me, in your terms, what the urban gentleman would be, like how he would behave.
The urban gentleman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so more broadly to mean, like, how would Mike, if you were to be a gentleman, if you were to somewhere describe Mike's version of a gentleman, what would the characteristics be?
Hang on a minute. I'm trying to think on it. What?
Buva, you have to do the same thing.
Doesn't exist.
What are your characteristics of a gentleman?
Okay. Oh, so I immediately go to, like, the cliche hold doors for people.
All people?
Oh, all people.
Okay.
I'm that guy that, like, I'm just like, I'll awkwardly stand there for a really long time and hold the door for people, and then I feel bad if I close the door ever. So, gets myself into situations. But holding doors for people, always using, you know, the best manners, using Mr. and Mrs., Sir, Madam, all that good stuff, you know, giving people the respect that they deserve.
Do you think that holds the same weight as it used to? Because I almost feel like
in
that
certain
comes
circles,
off very
yes.
awkward.
In certain circles, yes. I think that some people truly appreciate that.
Old people.
Not necessarily old people. I appreciate when somebody calls me sir.
You
yeah, that's not true
would.
At all.
Yes.
That's not true at all.
I was going to say, like, someone calls you sir, and you're like, you know what? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well,
kind of
thank
behavior
you.
When I
was trying not
crackers.
To say old people. Yes, old people like it, whatever. Yeah. Old people enjoy when you have, like, the classic manners and stuff like that. Like, I get the whole, oh, your parents did a good job with you kind of deal. Like, that's what I think of when I think of me being a gentleman. But I don't know, general kindness to everybody.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of, like...
There were things in this article, like, you always... The man walks the closest to the street. It's kind of like a protection.
Oh.
You know, if the car veers off, it's going to take you out, and you're protecting the children or
man pumps
the
gas.
Well, that wasn't on the list. But,
well, that's what I was taught.
But I was always taught that, so I just always subconsciously... I don't tell anybody, well, excuse me, I'm getting nearer the street, but I'll just do that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if I'm with the kids
miss.
Or something.
Let me walk near the street.
Or my wife.
Yeah. There were a few other on the list that I thought were pretty good that I thought if I were defining an urban gentleman, of which I am not, but may attain to be... Because, like, a lot of times you think a gentleman... Like, they had some things in there about a dress and a couple other articles, like how you dress.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I'm not much for that. But, like, gentlemanly traditions that still apply today. He's on time.
Correct.
A gentleman's on time. Oh. And I think to myself, I wish I was that.
Yeah, that's what I would like to be.
I wish I was on time. He gives the jacket. I don't know about that.
Oh, gives the jacket to his wife.
Yeah. I've offered, here's the deal.
Mine's so big.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever, like, I don't think anyone's ever taken me up on that offer.
No.
Like,
My kids will. My kids will take me up on it.
I know, as a matter of fact, not a single person in my entire life has taken me up on that. I offer jackets all the time. People around me are always cold. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm always, hey, do you want my sweatshirt? No.
Hey. Now, I hear what you're saying, because I actually, when I get coffee at church, I always take two cups. Like, I put one cup, and then I put another cup underneath it and figure, hey, I could split this with somebody if somebody looks like they need coffee. No one ever takes me up on that.
Huh.
Ain't that something?
That's something.
I was ready to be a gentleman, and no one.
I have put myself in the situation. The situation is not just
I ready. Drank part of this. Can I pour the rest of it out?
Hey, would you like the rest of it?
Yeah, we're just about to take communion. What's the problem? Ben?
Sorry. What about holding out your hand to help somebody down a step? I feel like that's a really gentleman thing to do. Like, if somebody's about to take a step down, whether it's a small jump or whether it's a step,
Wait a minute.
Hold out your hand so that they can grab your hand and take the step.
Now, do you feel like that can be taken the wrong way? Because to do that nowadays, does it infer that I'm saying you're incapable of doing that yourself?
Man, why are you going to throw that in there? No, I didn't think about that.
I'm just asking.
I don't know. I do that all the time and very... Few people will take me up on it.
Some people
you
will.
Just look like a fool with your arm.
Hey, buddy, let me help you out. And they're like, get away from me, freak.
Get away from me.
That's what I'm concerned about. It's like, so how do you, what are some things where you can legitimately be an urban gentleman?
I think you can still open up doors for people. I'll do that for men or women, but I especially do women.
You can give people a place in line. You know what I mean? Let's say you and another person, you know, meet at the exact same time. You say, go ahead.
I think you still ought to ask.
Give up your seat.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. That was on the list.
Yeah.
If you're on a bus or something and they're full. I think the guy should still ask the girl's dad for her hand in marriage.
Yep.
Although I didn't do that. I was a coward.
I was
kind of stubborn.
I offered to pay. Some guy's card got declined at the gas station. And he's like, I got another card. And I said, I tell you what, man, all you got is coffee and some gum there, man. I got it. I said, I'm just getting coffee. I got this thing. And he's like, no, it's good. I said, no, I got it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's just on me today. And then he got upset at me and said, I got it. And then
that hurt his pride.
That was the end of the conversation.
Okay, so that's not on you. That's on that guy for being a prideful beast.
Was gentlemanly.
Yeah.
Like everyone's been
that
there.
That was.
I offer to pay for stuff for people who are writing a check.
You're taking a long time.
I ain't got time for this.
That's not you being a gentleman. That's saying you don't have time for this.
Hey, unless that guy wants to get beat up by everyone else at the gas station.
Don't try and disguise it.
I offer to pay for it with a card.
Excuse me, miss. I see that you are pulling out a checkbook. Can I pay for you so you don't have to do that?
I'd be willing to pay up to like $25. I don't care if you got gas or whatever.
That is awesome.
I can't be staying waiting in line while you're writing a check. What's the date today?
I saw a guy take his two children to a movie Friday, and his card was declined. And I just kind of pretended like I didn't notice. I thought, that was kind of embarrassing. Then he got another card out, and it worked. And then I noticed he went to the same movie as me. And then he, like, he's on the phone. He's trying to figure out something. Probably his wife was out Christmas shopping or something.
That's rough times.
It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean declined?
If I see, like, kids at, like, a gas station buying something, and I hate it when they're fumbling through change and stuff like that. And I'm like, I got this. Don't worry about it. I'll pay for the candy. It's all good.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do that just because I'm like, save your 48 cents that you have in your pocket right now, I'll pay for you.
I don't do that to my kids. I'm like, get all 48 cents out. Yeah. I'll put it on the card. You give the change to me.
I'm more of a safety, a softy for like an elderly person who, you know, is on a fixed income. You know, and that's like, they really are counting they get X number of pennies per month. That's it. You know, I'd be more willing to.
Together we got everybody taken care of. I said, together we got everybody taken care of.
Yeah, we got all generations.
Did you say together we got everybody taken care of?
Yes, I did.
I missed it.
Together we accomplish more.
Hey, man, guess what? Together, we got everybody taken care of.
Ben, do something.
I'm done.
Sorry, yeah. I was just checking to see if I agree with any of the rest of these. You know, one of the things that wasn't on here, well, here, I'll read you a couple more, and then I'll tell you which one that I think should be on here. He opens the door for her. We kind of talked about that. He never criticizes a homemade meal. That's not the shape of a gentleman. That's just the opposite of a jerk.
It's a mark of a fool.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, if you want to keep eating, Crispitos with... tainted mushrooms in them, then you go ahead and applaud that meal because she's just going to make it again.
We still laugh about some of our early meals in our early marriage because I mocked her so brutally that it never happened again.
I mean, there's a line. Yeah. There's a way to say something without being mean or offensive to your wife. But if you don't like, tilapia, you better tell your wife because she's the one cooking it. She's going to find out you lied to her for 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's terrible. That's not good marriage.
Well, but like the basis of he never criticizes a homemade meal. Like, what is the other option? Like, what kind of guy goes around and like is anyone ever going to recognize a man who doesn't do that and go, oh, he was such a gentleman. He didn't say anything bad about my meal.
Oh,
like, is that the mark of a gentleman?
Now, when you're out and about or at somebody else's house, then that is the tact.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, I hate scalloped potatoes. how do you not know me?
Have you ever had a really nasty meal and just didn't say anything? Like you're at somebody else's house?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll say thank you. But I'm not going to sit there and praise the meal. It's like, wow, so that was amazing. What'd you do? Just accidentally dump stuff from your cupboard into a pot? That was wonderful. No,
here's a little bit of free advice for newly married fellas. Here's what you do.
All right.
If the meal's a little questionable, and it's going to happen, right? You married your wife because she's pretty sharp, or you love her, and she will eventually own up that there's something wrong with the meal. You just got to wait it out. Like after about 5 minutes, just wait it out. She'll say, what do you think? And you're like, yeah. You know, well, how's yours? And she'll be like, well, I think the salmon's a little dry or something wrong with the potatoes. And you go, I might have noticed some of that stuff. Otherwise, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait for her to criticize her own meal?
Because she will. Because she's subconscious about it. She's trying to cook for two. It's not usually your gig. And she's just learning how to do it. And it's just better. Wait till she says something derogatory about it. And then just kind of half agree. Say, yeah, it's pretty good. But I tell you what, if you want me to run and get pizza, I'll do that. Well, I don't, you know, there ain't no reason to go hungry tonight.
That's how my dad did it.
Yeah.
He just said, sweetheart, I love you with all my heart. This is awful. But,
yeah.
I'm going to go get pizza. You want Casey's taco, right? And she go, yeah. Okay.
our biggest mistake in our cooking family is sometimes my wife will be cooking something and then just walk away and start doing something else and forget. And I'm like, some of this stuff you got to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you cook gasoline.
Exactly. And, we've had some issues before. We've had pizza before. And
that's a good way to put it. We've had pizza before.
After right. Something else was cooked. So there's certain meals I just cook, and I just jump in and start cooking because I know it'll just, you know. And there's a lot of things she does way better than me. I mean, I'm not, you know, saying I'm a great cook. I'm just saying there's certain things.
Fair enough. All right. Number 20, he would never dream of hitting any woman. Again, I'm not sure the mark of a gentleman, just not a jackanapes.
I notice you've not hit any women today.
I've never hit a woman. I don't think that qualifies me as being a gentleman.
He's such a gentleman.
He's never punched me in the face. It's like, women, this is your awful criteria for dudes, and that's why dudes get to get away with being gentlemen for not punching you.
And so here's the one addition I would add to the list, which is a gentleman gives you their full attention.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Especially,
I'm a fidgeter. I am a looking.
Yeah.
I'm paying my mind. The modern urban gentleman, in Ben's definition, is not Ben Foost because he cannot pay attention like he's supposed to. And so that means you leave your phone. In fact, I think my definition of the urban gentleman says no one even knows you have a phone. You may carry one, but they don't know the difference.
That's cool.
I literally just checked my phone. Man.
We're on the air, Booba.
I get that. This isn't me. I'm not the urban gentleman.
Okay. All right. So that's movements toward the urban gentleman is people don't even know you own a phone. Like if you communicate, everyone still feels in touch with you, but they wouldn't be able to physically see you have a phone. You got to work that out, gentlemen.
Does an iPad count?
Yes, that counts. All your technology counts.
I would put my phone away and turn the ringer off, and I just check out. But then I might,
check back in with the iPad.
Nope. And that includes having intentional conversations with people. It's office fellas, office gentlemen. You might walk by 15 guys a day. And he's like, hey, how's it going? It's just fine, thanks. How are you? I'm good. Yeah, right. You're making waves with that. The urban gentleman stops at least a third of those people, looks him in the eye, and says, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. How's your wife doing?
Yeah.
No, really. How's the hemorrhoids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan is not the urban gentleman.
I can see by the way you're walking. You're uncomfortable.
Urban gentleman's on time. Start to be on time for stuff. All fellas, right. You got to be on time.
Hey, you take that phone thing to heart.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how? Yeah. Here's another bit of free advice for those who are not yet married. You want to stand out in the dating scene? Don't be on your phone. Seriously, just don't be on it. I mean, even at 5 minutes, 5 minute increments, Don't be on your phone. You'll blow ladies away. They'll have no idea what to do with a man that's looking them in the eye and wants to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Give them a little hand check here.
Especially at a restaurant, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I haven't been to a restaurant lately where, like, at least one person at any given table doesn't have a phone out, except for, you know, some blue hairs that are out there having an anniversary dinner or something.
Yeah. In fact, people will go out to eat and literally both be staring at their phones.
Yeah.
And not even talk to each other. I don't understand it. Why would you go out? I can pull that off in the Taco Bell parking lot.
All right. Anyway, hey, if you got any suggestions on what you would point out to be an urban gentleman, hit us up on Twitter, at Live from the Path, hashtag Urban Gentleman. And we'd like to hear what your stakes are for being an urban gentleman.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Booba, what you got going on over there?
Oh, it's been an interesting week, man. I've got some friends that I've really been working with. I admitting that I'm not an urban gentleman myself, but am doing my best to become one. In many of my situations, will find myself talking with dudes my age.
Yep.
And 95% of them are just. We started talking. What? The his life or something. Damn. I feel like I'm that person that has something like that in my life. Like, I don't have skills. What to it?
Yeah.
It's not about, well, God, here's the marketable skills that I have, and I've really been working on my people skills, or I've really been working on this portion of my life so you can really use that, or I really want to do this, so this is how I've been studying up so that you can use it this way. It's the concept of understanding that God made you with the skills that you have, made you with the set of things that you're going to. Someone from that perspective is having a really, it's not on.
No. Wants something so bad, not there. I have a really good friend. That just thought singer ever, you know, and wanted to be on stage and sing and to be in the worship team, and she couldn't, she was on tune. I mean it wasn't the chalkboard.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like just kind of not bad. Bad.
Uh-huh.
People wouldn't sit by her, or even just sitting in like, oh, they're over there. We're gonna go over here, and she's really felt that she should have a microphone and be up on the stage, and it was a really tough that's really not sure God's not using you. So sometimes people have a passion to do something, but it's just it's not right there.
Perfect metaphor. When God part of his kingdom, he's not or a better version of you to apply for this. He's like, we have on the job. Just show up. Just get nice. What it is. And you're like, but I'm not skilled in anything. And help push you in the. I run into this in life, but. Like a lot of the things that I'm good at, I'm just not. Right? Set. On. Or. when you're new with Christ and new to trying to understand how this kingdom works and how God set things up. Because everywhere else you have to prove yourself. Doesn't matter where it is. You have to prove yourself within your own family. You know what I'm saying? If you're the one guy not cleaning his room in the house when you're seven, you know, you've proven yourself to be untrustworthy at your place. You got to do it at your job. You got to do it when you're with your set of friends. You're always that guy of some kind. You know, you're that guy that drives everybody when they're drunk. That can seem to get 15 ping pong balls in his mouth. Like everywhere you go, you're proving yourself, and the kingdom is different. The kingdom of God says, "Look, I proved everything with my son. I just
it's like if guys to go back to how I mean he's not going after a draft pick." Right, he's not saying who's the most talented guy. I want him on my team. Like that's God already owns the talent.
Yeah,
and so he's just saying, you know, I'll take that guy, and he's going to do this for me. And it was their willingness to do it is really the harbinger there. Like that's the crux of how things got done through God was their basic willingness to agree to do it. But beyond that, I mean, he provided every miracle Moses did. God provided, right?
Right.
Anytime someone had something that was otherwise supernatural, we thought, wow, look at what those guys did. It's really look at what God did. And someone who agreed to say, yeah, God, I'll do whatever. Furnace, you got it. I'll take a couple buddies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the wrong thought to say, hey, I need to prep for the bigs and maybe God will draft me.
Yeah.
Like it's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, think of the scenario in which God is attempting to train Moses to throw the stick down correctly. No, come on. That's not how it's done.
And just one, to the left.
Go in there. I don't really care what type of style you use to throw the stick down. Just throw it down. I will cover the back end. And that's true with almost every great prophet of the Bible. Very little training or Rocky-style motivation is going on. It's just like, just do the thing that I asked you to do, and then it will go exactly how I planned.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking of a sweet montage of Moses just running around like shadow boxing and stuff like that, and ends with him just going, yeah, throwing a stick on the ground.
Lifting blank tablets all the time. I got to carry these all the way down a mountain. I'll never make it. My biceps.
Give me 50 more, Moses.
Who wants to see the old hand leprosy gig?
Yeah, so it was a really good conversation, and it started off from me talking to this dude and just kind of trying to speak in his life. And it kind of, in a way God works, of just kind of flipped back onto me of, you know, I'm in the same boat and I can't speak into this. Like I'm not dealing with that. I'm in the same piece where a lot of the times I'm just like, man, God, I think I'd do really good at that. Like, I think I'd be really sweet at that. Like, you should put me in that situation. Here's my resume. Yeah. Most recently, this is what I've done. I think that I'm the most qualified for the job kind of deal. Whereas it's just like, no, you're going to go into this, and it really doesn't matter what you think you can do. Yeah. This is more on me.
I put your DNA together. You would suck at that.
Hey, you remember that whole knitted you in the womb thing? Yeah, I did that.
Remember when you said you was going to be a model?
Hey, man, Chip Tooth kind of ruined that for you, didn't it?
Remember when you were going to be a seat filler at the Grammys? Not glorifying to me.
Hey, it was a really cool situation to find myself in. I love when God kind of flips stuff on me where I'm trying to talk into my friends' lives, and God's done a lot of work in me the last couple of years. And I know you guys can attest to that, and people who have consistently listened to the show, the three people who have, they can attest that I've hopefully changed a little bit too. But it was a really humbling situation to find myself there and trying to speak to somebody and then realize that, you know, God hasn't finished with me. I'm still here, and I can listen to my own words too. So it was a really good situation.
Well, and you know, the most appropriate answer/question when someone says, you know, what does God want? God want is basically the start of an Abbott Costello routine. What does God want? Who? No. What does God want? No, who? Right? That's what it is. Like you're asking the wrong question. It's who does he want? And the answer is always you. And there you go. You have your answer. Like the other part that you're worrying about is basically things that are in God's hands, that you can prayerfully pursue. But you don't have to answer the question is what does he want? He wants whatever he wants. But he wants it from you, and how that looks like in your life, you're just gonna have to be faithful, and it'll play itself out. That's what it'll look like. All right, you're listening live from the Path. Hey, real quick, if you have not done so yet, I highly encourage you to sell your house. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get it sold, move into something else, and Bob Eisenhower can help you with either one. He may or may not recommend you selling your house, but I get to say what I want because I have no real estate license, no board of... nobody has to keep an eye on me, no one that can kick me out of the program.
There's no repercussions.
Yep, there you go. But check with Bob. Go to the EisenhowerTeam.com, and that's Bob Eisenhower. Those guys are easy to work with and hard to beat, and they can help you with all your home buying, selling needs, even if you're just dipping your toe in and saying, hey, maybe this might be a good time. Contact Bob, and he'll help you out. Awesome friend of the show. Also, Westfield Veterinary Hospital. You can go to westfieldvethospital.com.
They schedule you to sell your dog.
They do. Well, no, I don't know if that's true.
Wait, Mike. What?
What? No consequences, Booba.
Do they buy dogs?
I'm not sure.
That's a unique.
They should start.
That's a unique vet hospital.
Can I trade one in?
So if you go to Westfield Vet Hospital,
you cannot take poor care of an animal and then try to sell it to the vet.
I've got a later model.
She's got a seeping wart on her side.
Here's the deal. She's had no maintenance.
She really hasn't. And now she's starting to lose her control.
Kind of throws a whole different situation, a drag, push, or pull her in. It's like, that dog's dead, sir.
That's a different kind of sale. Yeah. You got to take bovine?
Original owner, though. One owner. We kept it in the garage all the time.
This is my grandma's kangaroo. We've had it in the garage for years.
It's got a few teeth left.
It was $5 in the pouch. Don't you love it when you find $5?
Anyway, our previous sponsor, Westfield Vet Hospital. Anyway, you can go to westfieldvethospital.com. You can schedule your appointments online. They're good for all your pet care needs. It's where I take my dogs, and I would highly encourage you to take your dogs there, too. They're in Johnston. Dan doesn't take his dogs anywhere, so he can't give any type of testimonial.
Yeah. You could try Dan's approach, which is the backyard. Apparently, it's not going well.
Dan uses warts. Dan's not much of a spiritualist, but every once in a while, he puts the dog back and says, the weather will heal you. Come back in better.
I'll leave you to the Navajos.
All right, you're listening to Life from the Path. There you go. All right, Mike. What do we people need? People need help. What do you got?
Well, there's reports, and I'm going to tell you what they are. Near Life from the Path. I am a young adult, the eldest of four children. I sleep in a basement, furnished and livable, which serves as my bedroom. I have no job, no driver's license, no friends who live close by. I try to make my family happy, despite being underappreciated by my parents and siblings. Keep it in. No matter how often I clean the house, take the blame when I have done nothing wrong, or try to be social and see eye to eye, I spend many nights crying like a baby in the inky darkness. A few times I have felt so down, I have wanted to end my life. I found an opportunity to get the training I need to accomplish the first half of my dream, and being a chef would help me earn money I need to make other half of my dream a reality. The thing is, I'm required to live on the property of the school. I tried running away once and had to come back. I don't want my parents to think I'm trying to run away from them again, but we don't communicate well. How can I get them to see I'm trying to move forward with my goals instead of severing family bonds? Okay, here's
How old is he? Doesn't say, does it?
It doesn't say.
Just
a good turn that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
I take back all previous laughter.
It says a young adult. Here's the thing. Listen to me, friend. There is a... imaginary barrier that I feel does not really exist, that you feel exists. Like, he seems to be worried to the fact that he will, you know, pursue his dreams and his family will be like, oh no, he doesn't live here anymore. And I don't know any decent parent that's not like, yeah, you can't live here anymore. I still love you, but you're going to have to get a job of some kind, friend. You know? And so I'm not really sure where this perception that he has is coming from. But it shouldn't be true. If it is, it shouldn't be.
Oh, man, I guess I'm struggling with some of the ways that he's described his circumstances. Like, he seems to have a weird grip on things. He wants to paint his parents as kind of domineering, but that they need him there. I don't know. I'm really struggling, except for he needs to talk to somebody. I don't know that maybe we're just not getting a full situation here, right? There's no way he's giving a balanced view of what his circumstances
are. No, and everybody has met a guy like this. You know, they come up with some kind of story and they tell you the story and you're like, well, that's terrible. Like, this whole thing just sounds rotten. And then, you know, it doesn't take much to put two and two together when you're like, you know, there's got to be parts of this story missing. You know, people always show up and be like, my parents, all they do is yell at me and they hate me. and they lock me in my room and they won't give me any food. I'm like, well, that's terrible. You know, only to find out, he's like, except for when they don't do that, I vandalize the place. And that's a little bit. So here, let's get the secular's advice on the situation. Booba, you want to?
There's not much that I can draw from that to be able to talk.
Booba's got a set and a half, and it's not going to this story.
Well, yeah. I think he needs, this year's what I would advise him. He needs to get himself a nice part-time job, move out to fulfill the first half of his dream, get some student loans with that, too, so he can, you know, he's not paying tuition, but he has enough money to pay his rent, you know, yeah. Room and board, whatever comes with the school. I don't know what type of setting that school is.
Well, the other fishy thing is, like, you know, like I want to fulfill the first half of my dream, and it can be funded by my chef job. Well, if your dream wasn't really silly, I feel like you'd have said, here's what I want to do.
I'm guessing he wants to own a restaurant.
Yeah, maybe.
He's going to work as a chef, then he'll own his own.
I mean, he's probably like, look, I want to make paper mache dragons.
Like Ratatouille.
His parents are like, you can't make any money, Brian, making paper mache dragons. He's like, it's my dream, and I'm going to fund it with my chef business. And so there's a lot of parts of this story.
I actually, here is my legitimate advice. Wait 6 months. Wait 6 months and get back to me. I feel like he's just in a weird spot. Stuff's weighing on him. Yeah. He just needs to wait it out.
Yeah.
Start get a few dishes together for a catering business. He can do that out of his mom's home, and then she can do the dishes later.
He doesn't even have a driver's license, Dan.
Oh, man, he has a bicycle.
Yeah, maybe 6 months is the way to go. And the truth, here's the free advice for people who still live with their parents. Your parents' oppression looks way different when you're not living there anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of the matter. You're jaded by your perspective. You will love your freedom when you get it, and then you will appreciate what your parents have done for you about 2 months later. And that is the truth. And it's hard to hear, and it's not gonna sink in right now because you're still living with your moms. But like as soon as you ain't living with your moms, you're gonna appreciate your mom. Here goes secular's advice. I don't know how old you were when you ran away, but if you are close to 18 or older, then finding a way to be self-supporting should be your priority. Family bonds are supposed to be bonds of love, not chains that prevent a person from achieving his or her potential. If you can't explain this to your parents, then you should enlist the help of another adult, a family friend or a relative, to help them understand that getting the training or certification you need for a career isn't severing anything, but is to everyone's advantage.
So, maybe I missed it. Like, is that his description of what's going on, or his parents are saying you're trying to sever ties?
That's his description of what's going on. I feel like he's mistaken.
Yeah, I do.
Can you imagine looking at your dad and saying, look, Dad, I know I'm 18 or whatever, but, like, I don't want to break your heart. So I will not be getting a job.
I'm going to start a blog.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like my dad would say, you can think about that on the stoop with a backpack on your way to a different place.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's representing his parents as saying something to the extent of, you're never going to leave the house because family. And you won't get a job or contribute positively to society because family.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a...
Yeah, family. Unless you're a legitimate mobster, I feel like you should just give it a whirl. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I think he's mistaken. I think he's going to have to just hold tight, see if something changes about his, how he views the world.
Okay, this one looks like it's coming from a 12-year-old girl.
Awesome.
So this is right up our alley.
Yep.
Dear Life from the Path, I'm 12 years old and I still play with dolls. My older sister keeps telling me to grow up. I'm embarrassed to ask my mom about it. Lots of girls at my school are growing up and they wear makeup, and I feel left out sometimes. Sometimes I throw tantrums. I try to get good grades, but my sister puts me down by saying stuff like I'm stupid. I try to ignore it, but it just gets in my head and stays in there forever. It's hard growing up to be a young lady. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm trying to grow up, but I can't get out of my childish ways. Please help me, Life from the Path. I would really appreciate it.
I got this. Sweetheart, pray for your sister. Stop throwing tantrums. Play dolls as long as you want to.
Yeah.
Done.
There you go.
That's solid advice.
The time will come when you just won't want to.
Yeah.
But right now, you want to. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Booba, what are your thoughts for this 12-year-old girl?
I would agree on all accounts. I think that she's still a little girl and has all those wants to be that. And yes, people around her are changing a little bit, but don't change until it's on you. So.
And the last thing you want to do is follow the example of the girls who are trying to grow up faster.
Yeah.
It just gets worse.
Yeah, your older sister seems like a real pain in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, why would you want to change your lifestyle to look more like hers? She's jaded and difficult to deal with.
That's right.
You want to be a kid, stay a kid.
I will get you a, I can't think of a McDonald's Barbie. I couldn't think. What are the Barbies these days?
Does your generosity know no bounds?
I was going to say Jamaican Barbie. I thought, do they make
I'll spend $3.99 on a Mighty Kids meal
have
for you.
A shiny penny you may have.
I was going to go exotic, and then I went to McDonald's.
I recently tripped over a rock you can have.
I don't even know that phrase, McDonald's Barbie.
Yeah, what is McDonald's Barbie?
What is that?
You know you can just stick with Barbie, right?
I haven't been down the Barbie aisle for a while.
Christmas is late at your house, Dan.
Dan, just say Barbie.
I got
That's all you
got
to say.
I was trying to go over the top for her.
I got you a picture of
I'll get
hamburger.
You a working at McDonald's Barbie.
The new minimum wage Barbie for everyone to enjoy. Hashtag urban gentleman. Go ahead. Don't waste your fancy hard-earned money on legit presents. Buy one from Dan. Stay a girl forever. Here's a McDonald's Barbie.
New fry grease
Here's
burn
secular
Barbie.
Says. Secular says, growing up ain't easy. I know people decades past the age of 21 who still are trying to do it, some with more success than others. That might help you to know that people don't mature at the same rate. This may have to do with emotional maturity and hormones. At 12, you're supposed to be mature enough to control your emotions and not have tantrums. Because you aren't, it's important you talk with your mother about your feelings. As to your dolls, hang on to them if you wish. People of every age collect and enjoy dolls, and it's not a sign of immaturity. As to wearing makeup, that's a personal choice. If you aren't interested, it's nothing to feel self-conscious about. More important than growing up fast is growing up to be a self-confident person who accepts herself for who she is.
Now, hold on a minute. You don't need to shine the poor woman on. If I came in, if I walked into a room and there was a 26-year-old woman playing with dolls, I mean, she may have them, but I'm not sure about playing with them.
Yeah.
Man, we haven't read this one, have we? Here we go. Dear Life from the Path. Ooh, someone's renting a room to her ex-husband.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
My husband and I divorced because of another woman. I took it hard, but after a year or so, I was okay. Fast forward to 2013. He shows up on my doorstep needing food and shelter, so I took him in. He's still the father of my children. Now I can't get rid of him. He's trying to show me he's changed. If I didn't know him, I'd think he wasn't the same man at all. I need to know if this is an okay situation for me to be in, because well-meaning friends and family tell me he won't change. He'll leave again. I say, as long as he abides by the terms of the divorce, so what? I don't care if he sees other people. He's my ex. Far as I'm concerned, he's just renting a room in my house. But I need to know, am I hurting the kids by letting him stay? He seems to get along better with them now than he ever did, and I'd be renting the room to someone else if it wasn't him. As far as I'm concerned, better the devil you know than the one you don't. Am I doing the right thing? And if so, how do I get well-meaning people to stop lecturing me?
Mm.
Speak into my life, Boova.
Yeah, Boova. What are your thoughts?
Hey, man, why do y'all throw this at me first? Like,
you're the wisest man in the room. It's obvious.
That is an obvious mistake. I'm kind of flip-flopping back and forth, to be honest with you, and I'm trying to figure this out in my head. Because I'm glad that he's seeming to be doing better with the kids. That's a good thing. I'm glad that the relationship seems to be doing well with him being in the house. I can't imagine that it's going to go very well for the both of you, because I mean, you were married at one point in time. It's not like that relationship didn't exist, and I don't know what kind of person would be able to just pretend like that didn't happen. And it's like, oh, it's okay, it's been a year now, we're no longer married, and as far as I'm concerned, he's just a stranger living in the room. I just don't see that differentiation happening very easily and smoothly at all times. And I think that might just complicate things with him being there. Anything slips, you are in a relationship and then stop, and then something happens to that, and then you go back to him, and or vice versa. I can't imagine it happens as smoothly as you're saying it is. Forever. It may be going that way right now, but I can't see this happening long term so smoothly. That would be my issue with it. I can see it happening for a short term. Maybe like trying to help him get on his feet and let him rent the room or something like that. But I can't imagine this is like a 10-year fix. I think the dude needs to get out as quickly as possible. He needs to take it on himself to own up to the fact that he needs to keep a relationship with his kids. And it's not just about living in the home. It's about just having that relationship. It shouldn't be situational. It should be that's just how he lives. So it shouldn't matter if he's there or not. He should have a good relationship with his kids.
All right, so hold on. So help identify, because what you've proposed is that it may not be a good idea to keep it now because things may get worse. Maybe an overly pessimistic, things could also get better. So you don't really have anything. How can you help her understand? Like, how would you explain to this woman, why isn't it a good idea for this man to be living in the same house when they're not married and it's an ex-husband? If there's a problem with that,
What is it? How would she be harming the kids?
I don't feel that way.
I think the whole thing is kind of confusing. It's confusing for the kids, confusing for her. On one hand, she is afraid he's going to leave. On the other hand, she's kind of afraid he's going to stay. I mean, I kind of got both sides from her letter. And
I didn't hear anything in her letter that said she was afraid he's going to stay. Has that been?
I mean, again, you know, the whole better the devil you know than the one you don't know is like, it's good that he's around. I'm going to keep him around, let people just kind of stop talking to me about it. And I mean, so I go from the angle of I'm always the fan of marriage. So just because they have a legal document saying they're not married, there's still a bond that's there till one of them dies. But she doesn't seem to be interested in reconciliation either. You know, there's a lot of layers in this thing. I would be a fan of trying to reconcile. But I don't know that either of them are interested. He's just looking for a place to hang out. It happens to be where his kids are. It's awkward and weird.
I feel like this is way more complicated than it needs to be. It's not good or bad. It just is.
Yeah.
And so until it's either one, I mean, you know, what do I do? Well, blah, blah, blah. He starts acting. Kick him out. What do I do when people bring it up? Tell him to shut up. What do I do if he's good to the kids? Let him be good to the kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you looked at your entire life this way, you would never do anything. Just let it be what it is until there's a problem that you have to do something about. Action will be required at some point. Until there is, I just leave it be.
I mean, are there forgiveness issues she needs to work on?
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't really say, but
no.
I'm just saying in real life, you know, it'd be odd to have the guy who left you for another woman and now came back homeless basically coming back for your help. You've got to work through some of those issues.
Here's the deal. Like, I couldn't say that, like, on a blank slate that, would you let my ex-wife move into your house and rent a room if she was down and out? Yes. What if you're still mad at her? Doesn't matter. I would totally do that. And until she switched did some crazy style stuff and what was causing harm at my place, then she's fine to stay as long as she wants. Until there's trouble. Like, it's odd that to look at life in such a way where you're anticipating every move, both good and bad, and then you're like, well, what do I do? Well, none of those things happened. None of those things happened. And like, people are starting to tell me they don't think it's a good idea. Tell them to shut up. None of their business.
No, I mean, I suppose you might be buying and I told you so, but that, I mean, that's the risk you run to do the stuff you want.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to do a playmaker on your life and say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done this.
If I drew a map out and said, what do I anticipate to happen the rest of my life? And I drew it out right now. I would never say that I had some wayward stranger that was down on his luck, live at my house for 5 years. Does that mean it's a bad idea? No, just means I'm not planning for it, and I haven't thought about it either way. What if it comes up? Hey, I need a place to live. My family died in a fire. I'm the only guy left. Yeah, I'll say yes to that. Well, what if he's mean? Well, then I'll kick him out when he's mean, I guess. I don't know. You know what I mean? You got to take a chance every once in a while, and until it turns, you know, crappy, I don't see any reason to plan for it. Just act appropriately when the things do happen.
Here's what I think I would tell her. If she was, like, sitting in front of me and we're having the conversation, I think I would say, if he's coming back to reconcile the marriage, and he's repentant, and he's sorry for the past, let's do this. You know, let's work on forgiveness. Let's work on reconciliation. If he's just looking for a room, let him go somewhere else. There's lots of rooms out there.
Why?
It's gonna upset the family. I mean, this is those children's...
The family is upset.
It's their dad. It's her ex-husband. I mean, it's a whole different dynamic than just some guy off the street. I mean, he's a guy who imploded their family and then came back and said, hey, you know, that didn't work.
What is that merciful verse you were talking about earlier?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he's coming back saying I want back in, then I'd say let him in.
What if he's just saying
just
I want?
Just looking for a place to hang out so we can go and do what he wants.
Says I just want forgiveness and I need a place to stay. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm still the father of your children.
Yeah,
I'd say it's fine. I don't care. It's fine until something bad. It's fine. I mean, there is something to have an ounce of preventative, but I don't think you're looking at the children's safety as an issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's their father. And I don't think you're looking at any, you know, there's a difference between letting the guy that's their dad live at the place opposed to a roaming pedophile that you don't know. And so, whatever.
Is this like a room she always rents out? Or?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a question. There's certainly a question as to whether this is ideal, but...
it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
That question's answered. It's not
right,
ideal.
Right. So if it's not ideal, though, is it worth... what gets you from, okay, this isn't... at the best it could be to, this can't happen at all. Like, that's the question, right?
You know what's done this? The View. That's what has caused this. bunch of people sitting around talking about what might happen 50 ways from Sunday. Just let him move in. They're like, he stopped paying rent. Kick him out. He was a jerk. Kick him out.
I'm voting no.
Dan votes no.
Unless he's completely repentant.
You're standing on a house of cards, Dan. You just don't have any legitimate reason to say no.
It's a, well, no, Dan Spector was the family. Just like that other guy.
You're like that unemployed.
The family.
The family.
You're listening live from the path. Hey, thanks for checking us out this week. Check out our sponsors, Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team. Go to EisenhowerTeam.com and Westville Veterinary Hospital. Next week, Mary Wasey is going to be in the studio. She's doing the Bible translation for the folks in Papua New Guinea. And I got some questions about that. I don't know what goes on in there. I want to know more. If you're hanging out for the podcast, we'll be right back with you. If not, if you're listening on the Truth Network 99.3 FM, we've got to let you go. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening to Live from the Path. There's some sea anemones. I guess. Yeah, seriously. Feel the showing great.
It normally that way in here.
Yeah. It sure don't feel good. I bet.
Dang.
Me. Hey, check. Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna do a quiz.
Can we get secular's advice from that?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. What's secular's advice?
Secular's advice is Dan doesn't love people.
Big meanie.
I can't see. He says merciful is no good anymore.
That's old news. Old-fashioned.
The Holy Spirit and mercy have left. Secular says, I can't see how your ex living in the house would hurt the children unless he suddenly disappears from their lives again. His presence there, even only as a renter, may lessen your chances of finding a serious romance again, because few, if any, men welcome courting a woman under these circumstances.
Ain't that the truth?
However, if you are happy with things just as they are, then when the unwelcome lectures start, all you have to do is tell the well-meaning lecturers that you know what you're doing and to please pipe down. The arrangement you have with your ex may work better for both of you than the marriage did, because it appears he is always on his best behavior.
All right, now here's the deal. Here's the distinction between that advice. Every fool says, hey, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everybody who's ever made a stupid decision in their life in the face of everyone else telling them not to make it says, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. So I'm just saying, like, maybe just figure out a different way to word that, because I think that's the telltale sign of a fool.
So disguise yourself as a wise person?
No, but just don't say, I know what I'm doing, because, I mean, that's a direct phrase.
Just
everyone
Christianize
uses
it. I've been praying about this, and I feel led to do it this way.
The Holy Spirit says, move them in. All right, here we go. Creatures great and small, Bible quiz on the dogs. See how you do.
Oh, man.
Ready? Number one. What day in creation were dogs created? Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. No looksies.
Four.
Dan's in with four.
Three.
Total guess.
I say four.
Does it count as cattle?
I think it's either five or six, but we'll go with four. Two, how many dogs entered the ark? One, two, seven, or 12?
Two.
They're not clean or whatever.
Two?
Two, I'd say two.
Okay. Who prophesied that Jezebel would be eaten by dogs?
Ahab?
That's her husband.
Oh, wait. Who prophesied? Say that again.
That would be pretty awkward. Hey, babe.
Hey, honey. It's going to be a rough day.
Bad news. One, you can't rent that room anymore. Two, dogs will eat you.
Number, here we go. An unnamed prophet from the country. Jeremiah, Elisha, Elijah.
Oh, man.
I say Elijah.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah.
Elijah, Jay. Four, what did the dogs do to Queen Jezebel when she died?
Ate her face.
Ate her face.
One, ate her, leaving only her skull, hands, and feet. Two, totally consumed her. Three, licked up her blood. Holy buckets.
Yeah,
four, ran to attack her but were driven back.
I say A.
Hey.
Yeah.
Skull, hands, feet. Okay. Number five. Who said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with staves?
Goliath.
Absalom, Amnon, Goliath, Hushai.
Goliath. Who's Hushai?
I don't know Hushai.
That's the coolest name ever.
He's pretty quiet.
I'm going to Google it. Hold on. Let's see what's Hushai or Chusai was a friend of David and a spy according to the Hebrew Bible.
Hey man, there's a downtown book about Hushai.
Hey, he looks
That's
like
a
real
cool name.
He looks like a real sweet.
We have a whole series on Hushai.
Yeah, I'm gonna name my next kid Hushai.
I so Goliath.
What did the preacher in Ecclesiastes say that a living dog is better than? A nagging wife, a dead king, a dead lion, or a dead horse?
Living dog in Ecclesiastes.
A dead king, a dead lion, a dead horse, or a nagging wife?
Nagging
I think
wife.
It's better than all of those.
Yeah. Is all of the above. I don't nagging wife seems pretty ecclesiastical.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm thinking Ecclesiastes is nagging wife.
I mean, you could push, pull, or drag that horse into the air. Into the Westfield, but that's up to you.
You get an exchange rate.
Being connected to a dog, the nagging wife. There's a corner of the roof, dripping water.
I'm just saying, nagging wife is pretty consistent.
I mean, it's
number a drunk has washed to wallow in a that is robbed of her whelps returns to a fool returns to his
fool that's, folly.
That's got to be fool folly.
Okay,
fool folly.
Number eight. Who does tell us is like somebody who takes a passing dog. Dog by the ears. A maniac who shoots deadly aerials. One who meddles in the quarrel of another. One who deceives a neighbor and says, I was only joking. A quarrelsome person who stirs up strife.
I say quarrelsome.
Could also be B. Yeah. Right, Booba.
Boys, we got to submit this quiz.
I say quarrelsome strife.
What was the other ones?
All right, here we go. Who, does Proverbs tell us, is like somebody who takes a passing dog by the ears, a maniac who shoots deadly arrows, one who meddles in the quarrel of another, one who deceives a neighbor and says, I was only joking, or a quarrelsome person who stirs up strife?
Okay, I'm gonna go D.
Stirs up strife? Okay.
I'm in a strife show.
All right, number nine. Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they become an abomination to the Lord, swallow them and choke to death, trample them under their feet and turn again and attack you, become demon-possessed and run off a cliff.
I say C.
Abomination.
Trample them underfoot and turn again and attack you, or abomination?
Abomination. Isn't that A?
Yeah.
A.
Mike, you're the tiebreaker.
It's got to be A.
Okay.
Stop touching it, Ben. I was going to have it fixed.
What was the woman's response when Jesus told her that the children's bread was not for the dogs? Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table?
Yep.
Truth, Lord. And though I am a dog, your mercy endures forever? Why are you raising the issue of my race? Please heal my child. Nothing. She went away ashamed.
A. Scraps to the table.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Scraps to the table. All right, here we go. Ready? Submit the quiz. Okay, I think I have it right. See what we got going on here. All right. What day in creations were dogs created? We said fourth day. That answer is incorrect. The correct answer is sixth day. Day six.
Wow.
I said either five or six. Here's the deal. He has to prepare the earth for him to put creatures on it. Day four.
They only have to hang out for a couple days.
Nah.
So there's no water.
It was sixth day. Here we go. Question number two. How many dogs into the ark? We said two. That is correct. Question number three. Who prophesied that Jezebel would be eaten by dogs? We said Elijah. That is correct. Number four. What did the dogs do to Queen Jezebel when she died? We said ate her, leave her only her skull, hands, and feet. That is gross and correct. Question five. Who said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with staves? We said Goliath. That is correct.
What is a stave?
A stave is it's just a long stick with a knife at the end of it,
like
basically.
A javelin type thing.
Booba plays the Clash of the Clans. They do that. They got the staves on there.
Dan has played it like a year and a half longer than I have. Just throwing that out there.
That's why he knew it too.
That has nothing to do with that.
Number six. What did the preacher in Ecclesiastes say that a living dog is better than? We said a nagging wife. That is incorrect. The correct answer is a dead lion.
What?
A dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. No doubt.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. What is the deal with... What is the deal with... Is Dan on his phone?
No.
Dan!
You are not an urban gentleman. That is rough times.
People Thanks, are commenting on my Facebook. dog better than
a
dead
living
lion.
Dog is better than a dead lion.
Hey, will you someone catch Dan up on the conversation?
I was listening. I don't know.
I was going to say, what does that have to do? What does that even mean?
I mean, you know, a dog is good. Living dog is better than a
Sometimes
dead lion.
Sometimes the Lord just speaks truth in your life, and it ain't up to you to fool with it.
So someday I may be reading through Ecclesiastes, and I go, hey, man. God, I finally understand that living dog, dead lion thing.
If a man on the street comes up with a trench coat and opens it up and says, live dog, dead lion, what can I get you?
Live dog.
Dog's better.
You hey, pick man. Live dog.
The Lord says live dog. All right, fine.
Here's the best answer on answers.yahoo.com to this question.
Oh, well.
A living dog is better than a dead lion. I suppose this was a proverb. This is the best. This is the best answer.
That means people voted. Yeah, I guess so.
The smallest measure of animal existence is better than the largest of dead matter. The poorest living peasant is infinitely above Alexander the Great. The lion, on the other hand, is the king, or as Agar, Proverbs 30:30 calls it, the hero among beasts. But if it be dead, then all is over with its dignity and its strength. The existence of a living dog is preferred to that of the dead lion. The most despicable living man's state is preferable to that of the most noble, who have died impenitent.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah, this guy's taking the gospel to the nations. That doesn't even make any sense to me. That means
that'd be a great t-shirt.
It doesn't matter who lived before me or what their greatness was. I surpass their greatness because I am taking breath. Yeah, that's like, I am greater than Abraham Lincoln because I live and he does not.
Yeah.
I persist.
Take that, James, Jesus' brother. Yeah. Your death has elevated me. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Here we go. Right. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly is what we said. That is correct. Who, does Proverbs tell us, is like somebody who takes a passing dog by the ears? We said a quarrelsome person who stirs up strife. That is incorrect. Correct answer is one who meddles in the quarrel of another.
Excuse me, sir. Wrong. Excuse me. That chalkboard that says Mike is right to be here next week.
Question 9. Jesus said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they, we said, become an abomination to the Lord. That is incorrect.
What?
Correct answer is trample them under their feet.
I'm sorry, what was that?
And turn again and attack you.
I voted for feet trampling.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You said I'm going to go against in spite of Booba.
Does that sound right, Ben?
I wasn't paying attention.
I thought that was the same.
Ben was on his phone. He's not an urban gentleman.
Thing.
I was the only one who was not on my phone and correct. Thank
my
you.
My phone is in my back pocket.
You're a dead lion to me, Booba.
Question 10. What was the woman's response when Jesus told her that the children's bread was not for the dogs? We said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. That is correct. We answered 6 out of 10 questions correctly for a score of 60%. The average score for this quiz, taken 6,591, number 9, 2004, is 61%.
Oh,
what?
For the first time, we have been bested. We have been bested on ChristiansUnite.com quizzes.
We don't know our dogs.
By the internet master.
The phone.
Oh, man.
My Bible study is lacking. I never look at a dog and write, I got to remember this thing. I'm always looking for other gems into my life, and I skip over the dog stuff.
Skip over the dog lion stuff.
I've been convicted.
I get back into my LTG.
Exactly. We need to talk more about dogs.
We just don't do all the good stuff.
We never do the dog talk.
All right. I think we need to get this thing done here.
Yeah.
It's time to call it a day.
I'm just getting warmed up.
It's good to see you.
You've been listening to life in the
full battery's dying. He's ready to go.
He's ready to go. I checked my iPad, too. It's dead, too.
Let's engage.
All right. Barry Wastey's here next week. And if you have any questions about translating the Bible to Papua New Guinea, we can handle that. Shoot us an email at info@lifeinthepast.org.
You're a very select individual.
Oh, man. I was just wondering.
I've been burning with this question.
I've had this question since high school.
Ever since I saw that dead lion.
Made sense to me.
And hit us up during the week, hashtag Urban Gentleman at lifeinthepath on twitter.com. Let's keep the conversation rolling.
Trending now on Twitter.
Urban Gentleman.
If there's any justice in the world, I won't ever see you again. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.